Do the intro.
Yeah, there's no intro right now. We're live.
Live like pie?
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
You want to talk into your microphone a little bit more?
Oh,
there you go.
Is that good?
That's great. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, man. I just had to read a JoJo chapter.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I don't know how to work this website. Go on.
You just tap it. You want me to start us off?
Yeah, go start us
off. Well, you want to go right into it? First of all, I think this is going to be a shorter episode than normal because we're on a little bit of a time crunch. But JoJo got the Ultra Jump cover this month.
They got on the front cover.
Yeah, it kind of happens like 5-6 times a year, I feel like. I don't know. Do you read anything else in Ultra Jump?
I have no idea.
I have no idea what it is.
Isn't Vinland Saga one of them?
I don't think Vinland Saga is in Jump because that's a different publisher.
Ultra Jump. That's a big-ass jump.
Yeah. Ultra You unlock the Ultra Jump when you play
game. You only got the baby Shonen Jump. Now you got the manly Ultra Jump.
Right. So, you know, it works better for Rocky's stuff, I guess.
I like how the cover... Well, this magazine is also the cover of this chapter, except instead of Dragona sitting in the car, it's that other guy, Charming Prince. Yeah, Prince Charming.
No, this Charming Man.
Charming Man.
He's growing on me a lot.
It's because you find him charming.
Maybe a little.
Hold up, this is a spinoff novel.
Yeah.
Starring Lisa.
Yeah, you haven't heard about that?
No.
It's what Lisa does in like the 1950s, I think.
That's after part
two.
Two. Yeah. Is there any vampires in it?
I don't know. I haven't read it.
That's so lame. First is the part one musical. Now there's a spinoff of Lisa. Man.
She's got a stand in this.
There was a time where I knew everything. Really?
Yeah, she's got a stand in that one, I'm pretty sure.
I guess she deserves it.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the Hamon warriors pretty much all have like Hermit Purple or like a variation.
Well, she better still have Hamon in this. I swear to God. If this just stands in this, I'm going to be pissed off.
Well, you're going to have to like read it.
Oh,
it's translated. It's a light novel.
Oh, never mind. It's a light novel. Dude, I changed my mind.
The idea of light novels piss me off a little bit.
They have all this great artwork in the cover, and then you open it, it's just words.
You're like, you want me to like visualize anime in my book? Like, that's a weird thing.
They call it a light novel when it's just a novel.
Yeah, you open it up, it's just dark inside.
They try to fool you by calling it, no, it's not a novel. It's a light novel. What does that mean? It's the same thing. Except with anime pictures.
Yeah,
every now
the worst
and then.
Is when you're browsing manga at Barnes & Noble and all of a sudden you cross over to the light novel section and you're
I'm glad they separated it now.
Right.
You remember the time when you picked up a manga book and... Oh, those are dark. I call those the dark days. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. For the record, I do like to read actual books. It's just... I don't know. It's weird when you try and mix them.
With manga and anime.
I don't know.
So they're on.
There's really no reason why I should be saying that. But let's continue.
So JoJo's on a JoJo family road trip.
I love it. It's like Final Fantasy 15. Because that's who invented the bro road trip.
Can we go through an episode of JoJo without you mentioning Final Fantasy 15, Kyle?
nice bit. Yeah, well, you know, they're getting sent to go use the lava rock to obtain the deed for all the plots
apparently,
of land in Hawaii.
Apparently you can look at public land deeds, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
You totally can.
I never owned a house before, so I never owned property, so I wouldn't know how these things work.
Well, you know.
Well, actually, your car counts as property.
Yeah, because they tax you on it.
Son of a bitch. They have it on records now.
Anyway,
the city records.
Jodeo's playing his DS. And
is that a DS? It looks like he's playing Fortnite on his phone.
Well, you think he's doing that with one hand?
Yeah.
All right.
Only the real gamers play Fortnite with one hand.
Oh, true.
Well, anyway, the other hand is grabbing your Mountain Dew G Fuel or whatever.
The Mountain Dew G Fuel.
Collaboration.
All right. So they're on their way to get to look at the deeds, right? And they're kind of, I like this scene of just them chilling. Usagi's eating this hamburger. He's always eating a goddamn hamburger.
I just realized that he loves his hamburgers.
He's a hamburger boy.
Araki's all like, what do Americans like? Hamburgers.
Is that what Araki says?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I like here is that Araki kind of skips some time in the story between these chapters. Instead of like doing every single thing in succession, I felt like Jojolian did that a lot.
Oh yeah,
but he's kind of like quickening up the pace.
Yeah, he heard me. He's listening to our podcast.
Thanks, Araki.
Thanks, Araki.
Okay, cool. They get out of the car. They arrive at the States building. They get inside.
It was Soggy trips and drops his cup noodles.
Yeah, I don't know. What is he?
Why? Tell me this. Have you ever met a person who eats ramen in public, like cup ramens?
I mean, they're kids. They're like 15, 16-year-olds.
So. When I was a kid, I saw kids just eat like that block of ramen, like just stale, just munching on it.
Yeah.
I don't know about carrying a hot cup of like noodles around.
Dude's always hungry, man.
Got to eat. I thought he was eating burgers. Like you said, I thought he was eating burgers, but now he's dropping ramen.
He was just eating like a burger and fries.
At first, I thought it was fries or like a milkshake.
He's got his cup noodles, yeah. Which actually was also advertised in Final Fantasy 15.
Well, everyone take out your Thunder Cross bingo sheets and cross out the Kyle bringing up FF15.
I'm going to keep doing it because... You know, it's a good bit.
It's your favorite game of all time, right?
Yeah, next to Uniriders.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a unicycle platformer for the SNES. Let's continue. Oh. He trips over after just, like, shaking or something.
Yeah, he's nervous because he's eating.
I don't know why he's so nervous.
Because they're doing something illegal.
Oh, technically they're not.
Oh, according to that one woman. What's her name? Marilyn?
Mary Lee. Meryl May.
Meryl Min Lay.
Yeah, the boss of this organization.
Yeah, I call her Big Gal. Anyway, yeah. Big Gal tells them, it goes over. We get a flashback of Big Gal giving them like a rundown of their heist, how they're going to like, because like deeds have monetary value because we give them monetary value.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is just touch the rock on the deed that we need to go find the little boy in the hole. And then bing, bang, zuni, we got $1 million.
She doesn't even mention that. That's what
what I was thinking the whole time.
That's what Charming Man's brother is still in.
Yeah, the whole time I was reading this, I was thinking like, man, Charming Man just needs to get that deed for that one place so he can just grab his brother out of that hole.
Yeah.
I wonder how he's going to do.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that hole is kind of doing the same thing that they did in part 5 on the boat. You know.
What's a Stan?
I don't know. Araki is kind of doing this thing where, like, the whole world is mysterious.
What if the whole mountain is a rock human?
Is a stand.
It's a rock human.
Oh, my gosh.
Call them rock beast. Or rock giants.
Dude, kind of like that Pixar short.
Which one? Is it the volcano?
The volcanoes.
The two volcanoes singing to each
other. They're just like rock humans.
I can't. Thank you for putting that back in my head.
Yeah, that's a good one. But, yeah, she explains that... The deed is a right. The deed itself is not proof of one's right to property. It's nothing more than a proof of transfer saying it's okay for you to own that land. But if, for example, someone stole this deed, I'm showing you it, or blah, 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 blah.
That's exactly what she said.
It wouldn't be a big deal because that's the type of documents or whatever. But basically, she's like, hey, are you following me? And it's like my favorite panel. I'm probably going to use this for the thumbnail. You get it, right? You're all with me? Absent-minded. They're all just like, huh? I like Charming Man's face here the best. It's pretty good.
I like Usagi's. He looks like a freaking dork.
He is a dork.
Yeah.
But yeah, this lava rock attracts wealth.
Fortune.
Power. I left it all in one place.
One piece. One place, one piece. That's what right. I call it, the one. You know why they call it One Piece? Because he left everything he owned in one piece.
God, Yeah. That's very astute, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay. So, she's like, what do you think is going to happen to the land when you put the lava rock next to the deeds? And they're like, oh, you're going to own the land. And she's like, that's right. All the land in Hawaii belongs to me now. And we're going to have billions of dollars and whatever.
They're going to save the boy in the hole.
She doesn't care about that.
I care. That's my favorite. I want to know about this boy in the hole more.
Well, if they don't, if he doesn't turn up soon, Charming Man is going to be responsible and get arrested.
Oh, shit. Do you think the boy's still in that hole? I want there to be just Charming Man reaching in there and like plucking him out.
I wish that there is a relation to Final Fantasy 15 for Boy in the Hole. Because you just come... everybody get your Boy in the Hole counters out. Have you ever just been a boy in a hole sometimes?
you ever just fall in a hole and become a boy in a hole?
That's what happens.
Oh, my Saturdays. Anyway.
Yeah, digging up the holes too deep in your backyard and your parents come out and yell at you. Because you hit a line.
Yeah, I hit the phone lines, and when I were calling Hong Kong,
we're making really good use of this little time we have right now.
Progress.
Yeah. Cool. So we get back to Usagi falling and making a mess and being surrounded by security guards.
Yeah, I don't know why he's spreading his legs like that, but
yeah, stop man spreading, Usagi.
Stop man spreading, Usagi.
But yeah, they're supposed to be inconspicuous, and they're just drawing attention to them themselves. But
luckily, the cops don't care.
Yeah, they're like, "Geez, kid, just clean that up.
I could clean that up already, kid."
Yeah. So they approach the clerk, but not before
using
Dragona uses their stand. Upper.
You gotta say it like a stand user. Smooth operators.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Oh, I like yours too. They change up that ID.
Yeah, Charming classic Man. Move.
Classic.
And then Charming Man, we still don't know what his deal is. If he's a rock human or what, or I don't know. His stand is still yet to be revealed, right? He just makes himself look like other people.
I guess he can do his face
real quick.
Was he able to?
I like this face that he changes into. It looks kind of.
I hope he is a rock person, because look at all those pebbles falling off of him.
I mean, he just said he had sandy skin. He might just—I think it's a red herring.
That is literally Rocky. You literally had a whole chapter devoted to explaining what a rock human is. I think I can see a rock human when I see him.
Rock people. Yeah, and then finally, Usagi gets to use his stand. It's so funny that it doesn't work unless somebody else asks him to use it. And he's like coming up with ideas like, yeah, guys, all you got to do is do this and this and this. Just ask me for this. And they're like, we're not doing that. So when Dragona finally is like, hey, use your stand. And he's like, oh, yippee. Oh, boy. Use a fake camera so that they look different on the security feeds. So they have a little bit of trouble.
They did it. So they changed the camera, all right?
Yeah.
They got the ID fix. Mm-hmm. Charming Man's up to the counter. They got permission to look at the records. And what happens? Well, it's all digital. The deeds that they wanted is only public viewing is on. Because I was thinking that in my head, like physical documents, can they actually do that? And they were like, right. And then they just give them a computer, like, yep. This is where you look at the documents. But Charming Man was able to roll like a charisma check by saying like, hey, my boy over there is dumb and he needs to look at some real paper.
That's pretty much it. That's my boy. He calls him his student. Oh, I'm peeking.
Oh, yeah. The kids. That boy behind me, see him? What? He's a student.
What on earth was that?
What? Oh, something came up.
Something weird happened.
Whoa. Is that the work of an enemy stand? See how I worked that in
there?
Y'all
saw that. A few of the lights just went out.
Oh, don't worry. It happens.
They're on the same circuit.
What'd you touch?
Dude,
I saw you move your hands over there, and all of a sudden, all these lights went off around me?
Well, you know.
I think you activated a stand.
I might have. Well,
let's keep going.
Let's keep going. So
my boy's dumb.
Oh my god! What is that? Anyway, we're just gonna keep rolling with that.
So, but they eventually got the real Doc O's
right.
documents, and but she, the lady, has to be there to turn the page for him with gloves because, you know, fancy, you know, don't want to leave fingerprints anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Dragona manages to touch. Well, I guess the papers gravitate towards the rock. Is that what happened? What I'm looking at right now?
Yeah, I think.
Or she moved it herself.
Yeah, I think they are.
No, she moved it herself. It looks like it. Like she
moved the rock.
Because she has an emblem on her chest, and there's a pocket behind the emblem, which keeps the lava rock. So she kind of like touches. I don't know. She leans on the desk and touches her emblem with the papers. And
I see that.
It activates the lava rock or whatever, and they did it.
Yeah, it vibrates. The rock vibrates. The papers kind of move a little bit, and they're like, "What?" And then they run out. And it's good.
You like this pose when they're jumping out of the deeds office, like they're that's like the last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
What? Well, how about that? How about that? Is the cover? Never mind. The absent minor one's pretty funny too.
Yeah. Well, there's another good one with Usagi in just a minute. So they get out and they're all like,
"Wow, that was easy." Except the fact that Usagi's vomiting foam.
Yeah, he's like, "Guys, I don't feel so good."
He's all on the
Rocky's drawing this vomit.
Do you like these 4 pages or 5 pages of Usagi just throwing up?
Yeah, they're like, something's wrong with this with him.
They remove his shirt and they see all these rocks things coming on his skin. It's a rock disease, dude. Johnny Joestar, where are you?
Johnny Joestar, where do you need him? Or where is he when you need him?
We need him to use his tusk act 4 to remove the rock disease off of Usagi and transfer it to somebody else.
I don't know, dude. This is kind of weird. I'm not so sure this is a rock disease or
it's probably another stand attack.
Probably.
9 times out of 10 when a character starts acting funny, it's probably being attacked by a stand.
Dude. That's so true.
Remember when Narancia started turning old?
Yeah.
Stand attack.
Remember
when Polnareff... Polnareff does a lot of
things. Yeah, he does. You remember when in part 3 when like he keeps coming back down the stairs and when he's faces Dio, he like keeps walking up the stairs.
Poor man.
So I know this has been like a meme online and everything, but I think it's hilarious because Dio, what he does is he stops time.
He runs down the stairs.
Takes up Polnareff, like manhandles him and sets him down a couple stairs and runs back
in the same position.
And he does it like 4 or 5 times. And he's like, he's not going to know what's going to hit him.
Funny. That was a time when we didn't know his stand ability. So it's
oh my God. Yeah.
There we go. So Usagi is throwing up, probably from all that cup ramen he'd been eating.
Dude, he was eating hamburgers, not hot dogs. I didn't see one. Well, he was eating a hot dog in the first chapter. That's why we called him Hot Dog Boy.
Yeah. Hot dogs. Oh, did you know, Kyle, that in 2035, scientists predict that all hot dogs are going to be gone from this world?
What scientists predicted that?
The ones you read about in the magazines.
I would actually feel like there will be more hot dogs in the world.
No, just gone. Yeah, it's a finite resource.
It kind of reminds me of a song that me and my friend wrote when we were 13 called Taco Famine. And it was about how the taco trees stopped fruiting.
You just made me sad. For a split second, I thought about a world that tacos didn't exist.
Well, it's kind of funny. It made me sad. The joke is that you pick a food that's like an assembly of food, and then you call it a famine. And it's like, how is that a... you just like put all the pieces together, and then it just poofs and disappears because you're in a taco famine. Or a pizza famine.
That would be awful.
Right? It's kind of... Think about it, right?
What if all the diseases, all the ingredients become extinct?
All ingredients become extinct.
I'm pretty sure in the future there'll be like taco flavored gum. So the taco flavor will still be around.
I'm pretty sure that you could just do that.
You know how like the in all the candies or that have banana in it, That banana that Taste is based off of does not exist anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's an extinct.
It's gonna be like
banana.
That with tacos.
you're onto something, man. I think so.
Well, this has been fun talking about.
Yeah, food. Well, you know, there's this last little part of the chapter that I kind of wanted to touch upon. It's just funny because you see Jodeo and what's his
Paco.
Name? Paco.
They were in the car the whole time.
They're like looking at him like, yeah, man, they look like they did it.
Why are they taking it easy?
They're taking it awful easy.
They sure seem to be taking it easy. Meanwhile, fucking Usagi is just like puking out his innards.
Yeah. Okay. So about this chapter overall, we're at chapter 14 now. All right. So we're kind of actually starting to get into the story. What's your...
You think so?
Well, I think it's a little bit more defined on what this part's going to be about.
I guess so.
Yeah? What's your...
I don't know. All I know is boy in the hole, $50 billion of money if they do this heist right, I guess. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, we have... I'm trying to maybe go a little bit deeper than that, like talking about Araki's like philosophies. He's been talking, like sprinkling through things, like, you know, there's the mechanisms,
and the calamity,
the calamity.
Ooh,
that's the last part.
He's picking up words from the dictionary and go. Yeah. Ooh.
He might be doing that, but so, like, if we look at, like, part 7, 8, and 9 as a trilogy, kind of the way you do 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 5, and 6, kind of loosely.
Yeah.
Right? So, part 1, or part 7, rather, you have the President of the United States and his stand about redirecting all good things towards him and his country, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Love Seat or something like that. Love Train.
Love Train, yeah. And then you have... part 8, which is about, like, you know, calamity, right? So
you got luck, calamity.
You have the good, the bad, and then you have...
Oh, my God, the stinky. The good, the bad, the stink.
You really took the words right out of my mouth, man.
So it could be anything, this final boss.
Well, I mean, there's a big thing about duality in this part, I think. I think there's a big theme of that.
Really?
Yeah, because you have, I mean, Jodeo is obviously the Joe star, right? But he has Dragona too, and they're kind of two halves. They operate well together, right? Because that last chapter when we saw them both manifest their stands, it was like kind of for each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think this part's main overarching theme is going to be kind of the balance between the two and how you kind of have one part take over too much. It throws stuff off and bad stuff will happen. Right? Because when Jodeo is narrating the beginning of the story, he's like talking from a point in the future. Right, he's like, this is a story about how I became filthy fucking rich.
Wow, spoilers.
It's chapter one.
Telling him that he wins in the end.
Yeah, right. I don't know. So I think that's kind of some themes about it. Also, you have this rock that it's kind of weird, right? So you're imprinting like desires, like human things, onto an inanimate like object, but yeah, it's resonating with it, right?
I guess like if people are giving these mundane objects monetary value.
Like what is the idea of something having worth is just made up in general, right? Yeah. Something being monetarily valuable, right? So the lava rock, a good example is diamonds, right? Like diamonds are not a rare thing, but
it's not.
But yeah, right. When I first learned about that, I was like, you mean they're everywhere?
You mean they're everywhere?
Yeah, because pressurized carbon exists all over fucking Earth.
But Minecraft says it's hard to find.
Right. So it's a human desire imprinted upon these inanimate objects, and the lava rock brings those objects towards whoever kind of owns it, right?
Yeah, oh, just back to the rock.
Well, back to the rock, right?
Or and I guess whoever owns the rock.
So, I mean, what do you do when you have the rock, but you don't see value in things like that?
I don't know.
Right? So, there's also, like, the parallel to part five where Jodeo is pretty much like Giorno. And Giorno's whole thing is like, oh, I'm going to be the boss. Is that going to happen too? Is he going to take over?
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
he already says this is how I become rich.
Yeah.
So at least Giorno didn't say like, this is the story, how I became a gangster. No, he starts off the story by saying, I'm going to become a gangstar. And I'm like, wow, I hope he does. But now Jodeo just kind of tells me his ending. I'm like, oh, well, I don't need to read your story then.
Yeah, well, he's like the most self-interested protagonist in JoJo's, like, ever. And also, he has confirmed, what's it, antisocial personality disorder?
Yeah, just like Giorno.
Well, Giorno's definitely on the spectrum somewhere. I mean, I feel like Jotaro is too.
A lot of them are. Bit. All our favorite heroes are on the spectrum, if you think about it.
Is that the truth, Eric?
At least my heroes.
Oh, well, that's good. Good. I think that's awesome. You know, get that representation in there. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts about how this part is shaping up as a whole or this chapter?
No, I just hope we get the boy in the hole soon.
All right. Everybody, turn in your bingo sheets. Well,
I wonder how they're going to get these deeds are going to come back to them.
If they are going to come back to them.
Oh, yeah, they are. Rock touched them.
Do you think Araki's going to be doing the thing where, like, inanimate objects have stands?
Araki, do the thing. No, I don't want that to happen. If that happens, then that's lame. Because I think stands should be something that somebody with a life force should have. Like plants and animals,
right?
And stuff like that. If it's an internet, like a random object starts having a stand, then I'm like, that's kind of poopoo.
Well, first of all, Anubis.
The object didn't have the stand. All right, stand came from a person who put the stand in a sword.
Right.
Are you saying I can accept that something like that happened then?
Right, but if you have the what was I going to say? So you have the lava rock that is like wealth imprinted or people's desires imprinted on an inanimate object, right? And what if you have a, I don't know, what are you trying to say? We'll call it. I'm going to have to edit all these ums.
So you have the see, this is the rock about what?
Okay, what I'm trying to say is that people's like wants and desires are a very powerful thing, right? And you have this rock that resonates with those things to make a whatever desire or whatever, right?
Uh huh.
So what if those desires are so powerful they get imprinted onto like an actual object?
I guess, yeah. If someone actually thinks this thing has worth, then I think it could work.
Well,
you just got to believe in it.
Right. I mean, so that might be like a force of nature working against what Jodeo is in group is working towards. Right. Because Jodeo's whole thing is about the mechanisms and how...
He hasn't mentioned that since chapter one.
Right, right. But the idea is it's just setting things up and manipulating things ever so slightly that everything kind of flows your way. Right? So what if they're kind of like messing with things too much here, so that you're getting some pushback from other people's quote unquote mechanisms.
I can see that.
Like, you know, if it's just that easy for a group of kids to steal a bunch of deeds to lands, like, then how do like the power systems of government like work in this version of Earth?
Well, if that happens, then you get a weird rock disease on your skin that makes you puke foam.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's
so
what
like
happens.
I kind of imagine like the Secret Service, some of them have stands, right? Like the president had a stand, right? So I'm wondering if this is going to get a little like political.
Maybe. I kind of like to seek stands that are, as their own thing, as like a separate part of society, like their own like club.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
Like a secret society kind of thing, like people who have stands know about stands.
People who have stands know about stands. Well, I mean, that's kind of like the Speedwagon Foundation, which like, we do know exists in this.
Yeah, probably like the,
in this universe.
They do study them, yeah.
They have to know, right?
They funded the Steel Ball Run race.
Well, Stephen Steele did that.
Well, I think, didn't Speedwagon put some money in that too?
Maybe.
I remember their name was in the first part.
Well, when we finally get the gosh darn manga.
I'll just wait till the anime comes out.
That might be coming out next year too. Who knew? Who knows? After
Netflix,
Stone Ocean,
I already paid for your $6.99 ads or whatever. Netflix, give me part 7.
Come on, animate them horses.
Animate those horses. Yeah.
All right. Well, Eric, I think that might be almost all the time we have left. Is there anything else you want to say real quick?
Oh, nah. I think
you're good.
Yeah, I already said boy in a hole enough.
And that's the last one.
Oh, yeah. That'll be the last time I'll mention, though. Until next issue, or until we see Charming Man's brother again.
I think that's the episode title, A Boy in the Hole.
A Boy in the Hole. No, well, he hasn't. No, don't. He hasn't been in this chapter yet. We'll wait until he gets there.
No, it's going to be the title of this podcast episode.
A Boy in the Hole. Sounds good.
In parentheses, a Final Fantasy 15 story.
I'd read it.
Yeah, me too. Real quick, I want to shout out. We have two sister podcasts here. The book club from Planet Zero, where you hear Eric.
That's me. I'm Eric, by the way.
And Christian.
Still in the same room as
me. Still in the same room. We actually record. We double up sometimes because it makes things easy. They talk about mostly American comic books. Their first season was One Piece and Moon Knight.
Good comics.
But right now they're talking about Doom Patrol, and that's really JoJo-like. So if you enjoy that, go take a listen to that. And also, me and a good friend of mine, Ben, just started talking about One Piece on our new channel, Two Piece in a Podcast, which brilliant. I still think is an amazing freaking name. shout out to the Meacher. Where we're talking about One Piece. And our first couple episodes, we introduce ourselves and we talk about our arc tier list. And one of these days, we'll get maybe one of you guys or both of you guys as guests to kind of talk about stuff, too.
Is it really a guest if it's my podcast? No,
whoa. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the shorter episode of the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Thundercross Splitcast.
JoJo, oh, no, no.
Yeah. Well, we still need to get and just talk about regular-ass manga in general.
We have.
Like, speaking of Ben, I've been reading this new one called Jing, and it's... Never heard of it. The artwork's really fun, and I read the first chapter and a half today. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
The guy's like Luffy, and he's king of the thieves. He's already king of the thieves. Nope, there's no story becoming king of the pirates.
Like I'm king of the assassins. King of the ninjas.
I'm gonna be king of ending this podcast real quick. Bye, everybody.
Thunder, goodness, sweet water!